82 degrees.
The program is sponsored. The opinions and statements made by the hosts and guests do not necessarily reflect the views of WBOB or its parent company, the Chesapeake Portsmouth Broadcasting Corporation.
Welcome to the How to Kill an Hour Hour, the half-hour edition brought to you by Southside Medical Center, where your health is their primary care. And now, without further ado, here's your host for the next 30 minutes, the one, the only, the Ed Man.
Oh, yeah. Welcome once again to the How to Kill an Hour radio show. I'm your host, the man with the plan, Ed Man, here to give you the news for the past week. All right, let's look at the latest story here, which is that Anthony Bourdain is dead. I don't know who that is, unfortunately, and I don't even know if I'm saying his name right, but apparently he's a really big deal because he is all over the news everywhere. Or it's a Saloon News Day, and they say, hey, let's cover the death of this culinary master. So I hate to admit that I don't know who this is. I mean, I guess he did some cooking shows or something, or I don't know. I'm not into that girl stuff. And it says here, in 1978, this is on Wikipedia, he graduated from the Culinary Institute of America and a veteran of numerous professional kitchens in his career, which included many years spent as executive chief at Brasier La Hollis in Manhattan. He became known for his 2000 best-selling book, Kitchen Confidential Adventures in the Culinary Underbelly. His first food world travel television show was A Cook's Tour, which ran for 35 episodes on the Food Network. And then in 2005, he began hosting the Travel Channel's culinary and cultural adventure programs, Anthony Bourdain, No Reservations. That went from 2005 to 2012, so I guess it was pretty successful. And then The Layover from 2011 to 2013, and then in 2013, he switched to CNN to host Anthony Bourdain, Parts Unknown. And I guess that's when things went downhill. You touch CNN, it's all over. Well, you know, like I said, it's kind of embarrassing that I don't know who this person is. Everyone is sharing famous quotes from him, and apparently he was a hero to a lot of people. I don't know. I mean, I don't think I'd have a reason to idolize a chef or whatever he was, but I mean, a great guy is a great guy, right? So if he was a great guy, it doesn't really matter what he did, does it? So he committed suicide, and so that is definitely a tragedy. And the thing is that, I mean, now that he's gone, I feel like he's getting an excessive amount of news coverage. And then again, maybe he was way more famous than I'm giving him credit for. Apparently everybody knew who this guy was, but because I didn't know who he was, I mean, if you said that name, I honestly, it wouldn't even ring a bell. It doesn't even look familiar to me. And so it's funny because I wonder how many people actually knew who this guy was, and, you know, I'm just ignorant, or how many of these people are kind of like, I don't know, jumping on the bandwagon. I mean, do you know who this was? Do you listen to his shows and things? Because if you did, then what I'm saying is going to sound a little inane, but I mean, you know, when you're a kid and you don't have the confidence, I guess, of a fully formed adult, when you hear other people saying a word that you don't recognize or whatever, you ever pretend like you knew what that word was or what they were talking about? And then when you get a little bit older, at least for me, sometimes something would happen and I wouldn't really be concerned about not knowing what they were talking about, but I was worried that they would think that I was trying to pretend that I knew what they were talking about and trying to be cool about it. So from my end, Anthony Bourdain, I didn't know him. I didn't know anything about him, but it seems like everybody in the entire world did, and it's hard for me to perceive that he has gone so long and escaped my notice and everybody else knows who he is. So I'm just wondering how many of those people also don't know who he is, but they're pretending to know who he is so they don't look like ignorant fools. You know, I remember in a conversation once with my friends, and we're talking about movies, and we're just saying which movies we like, and, you know, just sharing, just having a conversation. And then one of my friends says, "Hey, have you ever seen this movie?" And I go, "Yeah." And then, like, the group is talking about it, and then I realize as we're talking that I had seen the previews or something. Somehow I had some scenes of that movie in my head. Maybe I'd seen it on TV or something. But that I didn't actually see that movie. And now I'm there trying to figure out how to get out of this without admitting that I just lied about seeing the movie. Now, the thing is, I didn't know I was lying when I said it. I had distinctly in my head scenes of the movie that they had been talking about. It's just that I must have seen clips of it or something. I didn't actually see the movie. And so now I have to figure out, I can either A, stop the flow of the conversation and say, "You know what, guys, I didn't actually see that movie. I and then go into a long explanation like I just gave you guys. I just saw clips of it or something and I just thought I saw it." I mean, how dumb does that sound, right? Or I could just go on pretending that I'd seen the movie and pray that the conversation moves on to something else and that nobody asked me anything specific about it. So, anyway, this is Bourdain seems like a real interesting guy for no other reason than he ate everything. I mean, I just watched a video on YouTube of him eating an animal's dookie. Is that the medical term for an animal's feces from the intestine? They cooked it, and then it looked like it was a joke played on him by this tribe who said, "Oh, the white man will eat anything." So, you know, who knows how much of that was staged or not. But anyway, I also find this story interesting because of another aspect. So my girlfriend is vegan. And apparently the vegan community, half of them are celebrating his death. Isn't that gruesome? And the other half is rebuking the first half for doing such a terrible thing. So isn't that funny that within the community, the vegan community, there's a war going on and we don't even know about it? Us, what do they call us? They have a name for non-vegans. What's the name? Tell me what the name is. All right, she won't tell me because she feels that I'm reporting on the vegan community, but I think it's carnies.
No.
What is it?
I just told you.
Tell me again.
Carnis.
Carnis.
It's not our name for you. It's the real name.
Carnis is what we're called. But she insists that that is the real name for us. People who eat meat are carnis. I don't know if that's true. I'm going to look that up. All right. She says it's not an insult, but they use it as one. But it is not inherently an insult. But if you're using it as one, it's the same thing as being insulting.
No.
So, carnism. Carnism is a concept used in discussions of humanity's relation to other animals. Carnists typically held that vegetarianism is a ludicrous idea, unworthy of attention. So maybe the carnists are the original insulters because they call that idea unworthy of attention even. So I guess we're the offenders. So I said that like half the vegan community are celebrating this poor man's death, but is that an exaggeration? Or is that just an expression? Well, it's ghastly. Oh, speaking of which, look this group, and you can look them up yourself. They're on Facebook. This is VOP Alpha CO dash Team Pulaski. VOP Alpha Company Team Pulaski. This is from Facebook. And they have a bunch of videos up. I don't even know how my girlfriend found this. I don't even know how you stumbled down this rabbit hole. But this is a story from I Googled it, and I found this from what had been told to me about this, because this is crazy. Listen to this. This is from Fox News. Arizona, 3 days ago. Police, child advocacy group dismiss claims that Arizona homeless encampment is a sex trafficking site. Okay, so that's the headline. And it's funny because, I'll tell you in a second. The National Center for Missing and Exploited Children and Arizona Police are pushing back on claims from a veterans group that a homeless encampment uncovered in Tucson last week was the site of a child sex trafficking operation. Okay, the allegations from Veterans on Patrol, a group that works to assist homeless vets, have been widely circulating on social media since the living space was found off Interstate 19 on May 29th. Among the items reportedly found at the site are belts tied to trees, hair dye, a crib, pornographic material, children's toys, and a large water drum with a small opening that has a dresser and two crates inside. We are right there, and our city is right there. Our children are right there. And it's not my problem if it's not in my backyard, Lewis Arthur, one of the group's members, told KLD-TV. Now it's in our backyard. You can look this up. There's a video up there. And the video, it's pretty convincing. And my understanding is that they're going to bulldoze the site, and that nobody is coming in to look at evidence. And as a matter of fact, on Snopes, they reported this. And here's how Snopes put it. The headline, this is Snopes.com, was a child skull found at an alleged sex trafficking bunker area in Tucson. Authorities have determined a skull found roughly 20 miles from an abandoned homeless camp belongs to an adult. So it gave the rating of as a false. But here's the thing. If you go on the site and you look at the videos, you see the skull in question, and they compare the skull to a water bottle, and it doesn't look like an adult skull. To me, I'm not like a forensic expert or anything like this, but if you're interested in something that might be a very, very serious subject here, you can look this up yourself. And so again, the story is from a Fox News story, and the website address is Fox News, and then child advocacy group dismiss claims that Arizona homeless encampment is sex trafficking site .html. That's a long title, but that is truly the title there. And then you'll find links, and you can go down this rabbit hole yourself. But I wanted to report that story. It's just such a strange, odd, and potentially important story, and you can look that stuff up. Chelsea Manning, does everyone remember her? Chelsea Manning, a government whistleblower. She had the cops pay her a visit there, and they they knock on the door. Nobody answers, so they enter the house with guns drawn, and what looks like a pretty scary scene. Now, the reason they did that was for what they termed a wellness check on Chelsea Manning. And then Chelsea Manning tweets, the reason that we know this happened is because she had security cameras up monitoring her apartment or house or whatever. And they then she allows The Intercept, who published the story, to put the video out there. And she writes, this is what a police state looks like. Well, the reason they were visiting the house, so that you get both sides of the story here, the reason they were visiting was because of a tweet that she put out. And the tweet says, I'm sorry I tried. I'm sorry I let you all down. I'm not really cut out for this world. I tried adapting to this world out here, but I failed you. I couldn't do this anymore. I can take people I don't know hating me, but not my own friends. I tried and I'm sorry about my failure. So, I mean, that sounds, you know, like she's just going to end it all there. So somebody called the police, or several people called the police, and then they went in to go check up on her. Now, I don't know. I mean, if somebody's going to do something to themselves, isn't it possible that they might end it with a gun? And then if they have a gun and then people enter into the house, I mean, they're going to end it all anyway. They don't have anything to lose. Maybe they would attack the people coming in to check up on them. And so maybe there is a good reason for the police to have their guns drawn when they enter. But from the outset, it's you know, pretty scary that they're doing a wellness check and they have their the weapons out like that. So, you know, again, this is something that you can make your own judgment on. I'm just reporting the story, right? Oh, and you know what? I should have brought this up earlier when I was talking about the Tucson, Arizona thing. So apparently the land that it's on is owned by a company, or maybe adjoining land. I don't completely understand, but from the bits I've been able to gather, they've been trying to figure out who owns the land that is on. And so apparently it's owned by a company, I can't remember the name of it, that has contributed a lot of money to the Clinton Foundation. Now, the reason I'm bringing this up is because somebody tweeted to Chelsea Clinton, Luciferian Illuminati child trafficking pedivore, which, I mean, it's the internet. It's just kind of, I mean, you know, when you're famous, you're going to get all kinds of stuff, right? Well, the reason I'm bringing this up is because to me, it's very odd that Chelsea Clinton responded to this. And she writes, "Hi, Jeremy. I'm a practicing Methodist, if you're asking, and have worked against child trafficking and child marriage for years. Please learn more about the child marriage crisis in the U.S. and around the world through at Unchained at Last and at Girls Not Brides. Wishing you a blessed night." And it's just strange to me that she would bother to respond to this incredibly trollish remark, but she did. Is that weird? Now, speaking of the Clintons, Hillary Clinton is, let's see here. This is a story from Fox News here. State-level Dems funneled $84 million to Clinton campaign, lawsuit alleges. Now, I thought this was proven. I guess I'm incorrect about that, but I thought it was proven that the state races, that the DNC was funneling money from the state races. So in other words, they would get contributions for the local candidates, and they were taking that money and giving it to Hillary Clinton's campaign. As many as 40 state-level Democratic parties may have been involved in a scheme to funnel as much as $84 million to Hillary Clinton's 2016 presidential campaign, a campaign finance lawyer contends. Dan Becker is an attorney in Virginia, and he's filed a lawsuit alleging that a plan was in place to circumvent campaign contribution limits set by the federal government. This was originally reported in the Las Vegas Review-Journal. You have individuals giving $300,000. They're not doing it because they care about Nevada's or Arkansas's state party. They're doing it to curry favor and buy influence with Hillary Clinton. Wow. Becker said that he filed a lawsuit because the FEC failed to meet a deadline for taking action. What a surprise. He said the Hillary Victory Fund reported transferring more than $1.7 million to the Nevada Democratic Party between 2015 and 2016, but the party reported receiving only $146,200, which it transferred to the DNC. The remaining $1.6 million was sent by the Hillary Victory Fund to the Nevada State Party and received by the DNC and never appeared on the Nevada Party's reports, Becker contends. Wow, if that's true, that is a big, big lump of missing cash. This is nothing more than a bogus political stunt, feebly designed to distract from vulnerable Republicans' disastrous agenda, Helen Kalla, a spokeswoman for the Nevada Democratic Party, told the Review Journal. In Idaho, Democrats allegedly contributed $1.6 million to the plan in a series of 13 transactions, but local party officials might have been unaware of how the money was being handled, the paper reported. It's reasonably possible the Idaho State Democratic Party had no prior knowledge or control over these transfers because they were handled entirely by HVF, the DNC Hillary Victory Fund, the DNC HFA, Hillary for America, and or their treasurers, said the 101-page complaint that Backer's group filed in December. Well, we'll see if anything comes of that. Probably not. Did you guys see how, Sean Hannity comes out on TV and he says, could you imagine if the people being subpoenaed by Mueller handled their business the way that Hillary Clinton handled and said, I suggest, destroy the cell phones, with hammers, destroy the cards in the cell phones, erase everything and see how things are and see how that goes for you. And because he made that statement, can you believe that the Democrats are actually claiming, and Mueller is claiming, that Sean Hannity was giving advice and witness tampering? Sean Hannity giving that sarcastic remark, they're trying to get him put away for witness tampering. I don't even like Sean Hannity, but that is ridiculous. All you got to do is listen to him speak, and you can hear clearly that he was making an analogy between the way that Hillary Clinton was treated and the way that anybody else would be treated were they to do the same thing in that situation. He isn't giving legal advice. He isn't actually telling them to physically do that in a serious manner. Are you kidding me? And now they're trying to put him in jail. It's beyond ridiculous. It's transparent and obvious what they're doing. So now they've got Nick Ackerman on MSNBC, former assistant Watergate special prosecutor, saying that Hannity could go to prison for 20 years for witness tampering. Amazing. Amazing. I got another story here. This is the last one. And again, this is just about how unfair and one-sided things are. But it's also kind of funny, all right? So Donald Trump, who was always seen as like a stereotypical rich guy, or is seen as, he's kind of like a punchline to jokes and stuff like that. But he was never seen as a racist until after he ran as a Republican. Then suddenly all the Democrats come to the realization that he's this huge racist. Well, he's come out now and he has commuted the sentence of Alice Johnson, who was imprisoned for life on drug-related charges. And it seems to me like a very unfair sentence. But she was serving life without the possibility of parole after being convicted for a first-time nonviolent drug offense. 63 years old. Anyway, she's released now because of him. And she said, God bless Donald Trump. And I think that was, very nice. TMZ of all places, but still better than CNN, right, is walked up to a Democratic senator and asked him this question. This is Representative Steve Cohen.
How you doing, Congressman Cohen? Congressman, somebody you fought for, Alice Walker, has just been granted clemency by the president. You fought for her heart. Is it a good thing right now?
It's not a good thing.
That's so funny. So he actually went on to explain that it's not a good thing because you should be judged on your sentence, not on the star power of your sponsor. Kim Kardashian had lobbied to get Alice Johnson free. But I love hearing